Now?
No.
I'm teasing.
It's time once again for Dialogue Conspiracy. Political research specialist Mae Russell, for 5 years, has shared with us her extensive research into political assassinations and abuses of power in this country. The program relates the news of the week with emerging evidence about the conspiracy which allegedly maintains by force its control over the legislative, executive, and judicial processes in America. And now, Mae Russell.
Good afternoon. This is Mae Russell in Carmel, California. This is Dialogue Conspiracy number 271, and it's May 30th, 1977, the end of the Memorial Day weekend, a nice long weekend. I have an exciting guest for you, interesting person by the name of Wayne Cook, and I think we'll get right onto the show because he has another appointment later, and we have an important matter to discuss. And by way of introduction, Wayne brought in a book called Natural Remedies for Better Health, and there was a definition of water. We're going to talk about the water conspiracy and the water shortage. And this book says, water in the dictionary is defined as a colorless liquid that appears on earth as brooks, rivers, lakes, oceans, and falls from the clouds as rain. As a rule, people take water for granted. However, if there is not sufficient water available, people begin to realize its great value. And with that, Wayne, let's talk immediately about the water conspiracy.
Okay. I'm very glad to be here. I've done a lot of broadcasting on the peninsula lately, and I think most of you are, hopefully, are familiar with my system of finding underground water. I got involved in this 18 years ago up in the Mojave Desert, where I have a mining operation. An old prospector that I found dehydrated in the desert, he was down on his face, showed me how to use what he called a witch stick. It is a dowsing rod or a divining rod. I rather prefer the divining aspect of it because it is strictly a divine gift from God that was given to man as part of his survival kit here on earth so that he could find water in any portion of our earth's structure. So I got involved in this thing and started trying to find out why it worked. There was one thing that this man said that intrigued me. He says, no one knows why this works. So anything that works for me, I have to know why. I have to know the mechanism of an automobile and all of the things that I'm involved with. So I started a methodical research program and kept it up year in and year out, until I actually discovered the basics that are necessary in finding underground water with a divining rod. And in so doing, discovered the ignition system of the human body. What it really amounts to basically is the fact that the human body requires 17 basic minerals in the body chemistry. These 17 minerals are emanating a variable frequency. Each one has its own frequency. This is expressed around the body as biomagnetic, which is the aura that they photographed in the Kirlian photography system. Many of our scientists here in America are doing Kirlian photography. It's controlled as psychoenergetic. That's where the computer or the brain comes in. So this makes the human body a solid-state, transistorized, computer-operated electrical entity capable of functioning in the Earth's magnetic structure, also capable of functioning outside of the Earth's magnetic structure as a separate, self-contained entity. So in taking the divining rod and developing three instruments that are built up around this frequency correlation or phase relationship on frequencies, I have been able to tune in on arterial water underground. I read into the strongest signal, just the same as if you were turning your radio on and you went in on a certain station that was broadcasting at 500 watts or 2,000 watts or 6,000 watts. And in the background was a station like KLRB, not KLRB, but I forget the name of the one down in Mexico that was running 50,000 watts. And it scrambled practically every little station down there. It's the same thing with this energy. When I tune in, I will pick up the strongest signal coming out of the water that has a phase relation with the energy or the minerals in my body. It's the minerals in the water that are on the same frequency as the minerals in my body chemistry. And I have proven this to myself beyond any shadow of a doubt. I've lectured in many, many colleges to a bunch of scientific skeptics. I spent a little over 3 years at Stanford University sharing all of my findings up there. I came out of there with one thing. Orthodox, hardcore science is involved in looking for a modicum of truth in a maze of human error. The nature scientist, which I call myself, is involved in looking for a modicum of human error in a maze of universal truth. You look outside, look at the leaves, the trees, the rainfall when it is here. You look at the sun and the moon and the orchid, and it is all truth. There's no error in it. It repeats the same. In a scientific laboratory, with the projects that are set up by man that are full of human error, there's practically no way that you can ever get any truth out of it. And that is one reason I'm never going back to any college to try to do any research on any of the nature scientists. I'll go back to my Bible and my nature.
Of course, it's a problem, Wayne, here that the universities and the geologists may know perfectly well, like in our local area, the Cal-Am Water Company. They may know the truth of where water is or oil is. Then we get to the element of control or conspiracy. They just don't want us to have it. I don't think they play that dumb. For example, you've shown me letters here and proof of your being able to drill wells successfully and find water. And I've seen your demonstration here in Carmel Valley, and the things that you do can go.
What you're looking at.
Well, there's a picture here of a desert with the water just pouring out. And, obviously, you found this right out in the desert.
4,000.
I believe that you can find, was it 4,000?
4,200 gallons a minute.
Wow.
That's the second well in the same valley. The two wells together are producing over 12 million gallons of water per day.
And
look at the
coming.
Terrain. Is that, it
it's
keeps
fantastic.
Coming.
Well, we've seen what happened in Israel. Mm. I was in Palestine in 1936, and it was all rock and hardcore. You know, now it's a blooming forest, you know, with citrus and other trees, and they turned it into a
right.
paradise. We know that water is there if you want to do it. That's a perfect example of what they did right there on that
right.
terrain.
Well,
but the thing is about the universities that I worry about and that what you noticed is that they purposely look the other way. They don't want to use your expertise anymore. They want to solve political problems such as the murders carrying on in this country. So what do we as people do to stop? I don't think they're as ignorant as we give them credit. I think they are smart and they control. That's my version of
yeah.
history. What do you do now? You can find water. We have a shortage here. There's shortages. How many states in the United States is there drought now?
Well, in all of them, I think,
Utah?
Except where they had the big snows. That'll be only for a little while because the drought all over the West, especially the western states.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that down in the southern part, down around Louisiana and so forth, they're planning on trying to convert the Mississippi River water into drinkable or potable water. The Mississippi River, I went out onto the middle of the bridge, the Natchez Bridge, about 5 years ago, and tried to get a reading on the Mississippi. Every mineral in the Mississippi River is killed. You can't get a reading on it because of the lead and the mercury and cadmium and all of the industrial refuse that's dumped into that river.
Well, what can you do? Say, I wanted you to make a point too here in our own local area tomorrow about a hearing and what people can do to get the water. You find water. You know how to do it. Wherever you can have access to a piece of property, you can drill and get water.
Well,
and
not necessarily. If there's water
there.
If there's water there,
you can do it. Yes.
Now, our water is arterial. It is not water table. The aquifer that they're talking about is a seepage of water from a surface river that goes into an underground structure, into the alluvial structure, underground. I showed May Saturday when she came out to our little shindig we had out here at Garland Park. I showed her and the rest of the people that were there, and I think we drew, I would say, 125. Wouldn't you think so?
Yes.
I didn't count heads. But I was very, very well pleased that we got that many people out there. But I showed them the what little water is left under the Carmel River, which is the aquifer. Then I showed them a tiny 2.5-foot breakthrough from this little bit of water that's flowing down under the river, the dry riverbed, into Cal-Am's new well. That's a beautiful well, and they're putting a pipe in there big enough to supply a good-sized town. If they get 200 gallons a minute out of that thing before the depletion of the aquifer, which is gradually taking place without rain, it'll really surprise me. I took them over to about 125 yards from there, and I showed them the boundaries of a 44-yard-wide river.
A deep river.
And it goes to 370 feet underground. It's flowing underground. And it's 80 feet from the top of the water to the bottom of the channel. Now, that's at Garland Park. Where I am sitting here in Rancho Shopping Center, the same river comes down through here. Down here, due to tributaries that flow in from both sides of the mountain range, from volcanic cones, now get this, supplied by geothermal steam. It gains 4 yards in width, and it goes to 145 feet of moisture signal in depth, because the canyon is much deeper down here. It keeps coming down. Now, people say, well, what is your accuracy on these things? On the January the 25th, I went over to Kettleman, and I did a job for John and Eric Kochergen, K-O-C-H-E-R-G-E-N. They have the Kochergen Farms.
Is that Fresno, California?
They live in Fresno, but we did this on their Kettleman Range. They farm thousands of acres of land. This was a 2,000-acre thing. I found 9 well sites. They drilled into the first one. On January the 25th, 1977, I found a stream 60 feet wide, 420 feet to the top of the water, 75 feet of moisture signal underneath that, flowing northwest. On May the 23rd, I have a letter from them here. It says, Dear Mr. Cook, we have completed the well you located for us on section 18. Enclosed is a copy of the well developing log, and you will note that it produces 1,750 gallons per minute at 423 feet, which is considered very good for our area. Thanks again, John and Alec Kochergen.
So the we know...
We missed it 3 feet. What a shame we're getting such an error. I must have hiccuped somewhere in there.
So the water is coming. If it's there, you can find it.
If it's there, we can find it. And not only is it there, but it is constantly replenished, like the blood in your body is constantly replenished. When you look at this thing as a design, which it is, it didn't happen by accident because it's entirely too orderly. The whole thing is too orderly to be haphazard. If you look at your body and realize that everything is in your body for the healthy, intelligent perpetuation of your physical and psychological being throughout your whole lifetime, and then look at the structure of the earth, you will discover that it is built, or you were built, according to the structure
of the
earth. Right.
Yeah.
Supply and demand, everything is there.
So what do you do when corporations, like the water company here, say you can't drill water, like they're threatening a fine and a jail sentence if we drill water? What do the American people do? How can we protect ourselves and unite in this common purpose? The water's available. The design is there. It's like sending a body to the hospital and saying you can't give a blood transfusion or you can't cut off an artery. If you're bleeding to death, and this the other way, it's the opposite here. You can't tap new wells. How do you, if the nature's left us with these wonderful resources and corporations come in that nature didn't anticipate, like Cal-Am?
Yeah.
The good Lord didn't design Cal-Am. I can't believe he did. Or across the state, whatever, water company. What can people do to fight the law now where they want to put you in jail for digging water?
Well, the way this thing is written, it's coming up, it's supposed to come up before the commission tomorrow. We have all the information that they had programmed this hearing for tomorrow to pass not a moratorium on well drilling. It started out to be a moratorium. They were going to say, well, you can't drill a well. And then I came into the scene with my big mouth and started shouting bloody murder all over the place. And all of a sudden, they changed this to rules and regulations. But the rules and regulations on drilling a well are so stringent until I don't think anyone, it will be the same as a moratorium.
So the Board of Supervisors tomorrow in Salinas, the people that get this tape in Sacramento and the East Coast, they won't be able to attend this hearing. But for the local people from Salinas or Santa Cruz or Carmel, if they want to go to the Board of Supervisors tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in Salinas, they should fight this moratorium on the rules
just,
of drilling.
Just let them know that we are not interested in having this thing shut down so that we cannot drill wells. The same thing happened in Los Angeles. I don't know how many years ago it was, but I was dealing at that time. My mining product was put into fertilizer and soil conditioner mix, which is a mineral compound. And they came in right after the California aqueduct was opened. They came in there and took away, with the water district that they put through, a total control of all the underground water. They took all the farmers' wells away from them, capped them up in the San Fernando Valley. Right. All of that beautiful underground water that had mineral in it to supply the mineral content for the plant life and the vegetables and everything, they took it all away from them and put them on meters. And a man with a 40-acre farm had to have probably 4 meters at a heck of a big deposit.
Instead of his own well.
Now, that's the reason I'm against this water district. If we need water management, what's wrong with a corporation? We pick a president, a vice president, a board of directors out of the public right here. Monterey, Carmel, up at Del Mesa. There are executives up there from every walk of life. Some of the biggest brains in the United States are retired up at Del Mesa, and they're sitting around there twiddling their thumbs and playing shuffleboard and not doing a darn thing except getting older and getting ready to die. And many of them would be very glad to give us their business acumen, I'm sure.
Well, isn't it
and
a shame
advice.
That,
so we don't need politicians in this thing to control us.
The gas, electricity, the water, oil are all beginning. They're just tied up by corporations. I don't think American people realize that all of their rights, their mobility, even their right to survive, the gasoline takes you to work. It's a place of employment. You don't even think about recreation for transportation, but just employment. And water, to control the water where you can't have your wells, begins very gradually in the cities. And they think, oh, wow, I have the meter. I don't have to bother.
Right.
And little by little, you find out that there is a concerted conspiracy against people being able to have their own water and being dependent. We become dependent in our society.
It looks to me like bureaucratic control. Now, I've never mixed with politics too much. I've always voted. I voted in every election. Been very, very sure that I got in. And I've taken a lot of abuse. I used to run a bunch of guys over fishing in Catalina. And one election day, I had about 12 guys on my boat. And it was time to come back and vote, get back to the polls to vote. And they nearly threw me overboard because they didn't give a damn. And I had to get back. But right now, I started out on this thing, May, and on the spur of a moment. I know how to find underground water, and I know there's water here in the valley. I know there's water in every canyon that's coming in, and there are rivers flowing through under Monterey and under Seaside and under Fort Ord and all the way, Marina, all the way, coming from these volcanic cones on each side of the mountain of every valley, here and everywhere.
On our peninsula. A lot
God
of
put it there.
A lot of people don't know when we talk about water, and it goes back to New York, they don't know that
talking about rainfall.
We're given 50 gallons a day, and the public stores and the restaurants are locked up in the toilets. We have little outhouses down at the beach and behind the stores here, and we go to the public restroom, and you can't flush the toilet and until about 10 or 12 people urinate, and then you can give it one flush. And there's signs all over, and the flowers are dying, the gardens are out, and, of course, the appliances are off.
Right.
I've used my dishwasher once in 3 months. It isn't a hardship, but then again, you take a bath, and the tub is where you bail your water out to flush the toilet. And a lot of people maybe who get this tape in Philadelphia or Maryland or whatever don't know that pretty much what happens to one place is going to happen to another.
It'll spread right through the whole country.
It'll spread all through the country.
That's
they can't identify with it yet. Yeah, they say, oh, California's got a drought. Oh, Idaho's got a drought. Colorado's got a drought. And then all of a sudden, they begin to see how many places don't get water and how many people, as you say, could have water. Who could have it if they want? Now, this week, in terms of local involvement, the Board of Supervisors says they're hedging now about the decision of whether to imprison you or fine you if you go for water.
Or both.
But there will be a meeting place if you live in Pacific Grove at the library starting at 7 o'clock Tuesday morning, May 31st. And then it's in front of Saks Fifth Avenue Del Monte Center that's in Monterey. And then in Carmel Valley at Garland Park, there's going to be a motorcade, and we'll all converge at Los Laureles Grade around 8 in the morning or 8:30 and get to Salinas, the Board of Supervisors, at 10. I really feel, and we talked about this earlier, that people are going to have to get politicized at many levels. Somebody called me yesterday about poison in their foods. He listens to the show every week, and he's interested in the chemicals. He doesn't have control anymore of the foods that you eat and the sprays. Whether we can have water, whether we're going to have these laser weapons I talked about last week, whether we're going to have the right to get the water. But this is one of the most basic things that has happened. I've studied the oil conspiracies because John J. McCloy, the lawyer for the oil corporations years ago, the Seven Sisters, was on the Warren Commission, and the killing of John Kennedy and many of these conspiracies goes back to oil. But water is such a necessary thing, and again, it's a utility like oil that is owned, and these droughts I have been predicting. I told you before, I predicted, based on my research on the political assassinations 8 years ago, the droughts that we're having now, and bought property for me and my family on a river up in British Columbia, because this state was going to dry up, and I knew this 8 years ago. And that's how far ahead you can project when you get the names of the people. So here we're caught, and we meet, we're total strangers up to this point, and you know where the water is, and they won't let you have it.
That's right.
What do we do? How do we get the people, irregardless of whatever they vote for, it's not Republican or Democratic water or communist or fascist. It's just water held back from the people. Don't you agree? It's a purposeful holding back.
That's right. They won't let us go underground and get this water.
They won't let you get the water.
I went to a meeting of the geologists over at Monterey Peninsula College Saturday before last. I sat there and let a man berate me, call me a charlatan, a thief, a witch doctor, everything in the book.
And join the club.
And he was tackling a heavyweight. He was tackling a heavyweight. And he's not a heavyweight.
Yeah, but,
and fortunately, I don't go that route anymore. To re-landscape his face.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I don't go that route anymore because I'm a kindly old son of a gun now.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to undo. I was part of the problems for so many years with alcohol. And now I am trying to be part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want to be part of the solution as bad as I do, and you've put all this research in it and everything, and have some little pipsqueak get up, I challenged this man the other day with a $5,000 bet. I said, if you'll put up $5,000, I'll put up $5,000, and you tell me there's no water out there where I might put my stake down. And if I get a dry hole, you pick up the my $5,000. I haven't heard a damn word from him.
Oh, no, that's the
best.
Incidentally, speaking of $5,000, Wayne, you said the other day that if everybody on the Monterey Peninsula put up $1 and sent it to you to the bank, and you could raise $20,000, you could have a chance of digging a well that would supply.
We'll drill a well that will show them that the water is there. All we want to do is show them it's there. Then they cannot deny that they can get the water. You see what I mean?
Then let's give the address of where they would send $1 or more to Wayne Cook.
No, you don't send it to me. You send it to the Peninsula Water Fund. I never touch this money. Now, on the air today, they made a mistake on KIDD and said that our advertising had been paid for out of the Peninsula Water Fund.
Uh-huh.
We have paid for our own advertising.
Okay, where do they send the money? Tell me where the money goes.
Give them the address, honey.
To Bob Wall Business Services.
Bob Wall Business Services.
455 Pierce Street.
455 Pierce Street. Is that the Wells Fargo Bank, did you say?
Monterey.
No.
Monterey.
Okay, and if you have any question, any of you listeners on the Monterey Peninsula or back east, anyone that wants to contribute, you can call me at home or write me to the station, and I'll give you that address again. We'll do it once more before we go on the air. Bob Wall.
Yeah. May I quote what I quoted to the group out there the other day?
Go ahead.
George Van Tassel, College of Universal Wisdom down at Yucca Valley, wrote some of the most beautiful things that you have ever imagined. I picked up one of them and memorized it some time ago, and it goes like this. O man, the strife you face is of your own creation. In ignoring my laws of nature, you have polluted my waters of life. My breath, the atmosphere, is mixed with your poisonous gases of greed. I need not suffer nor pay the price. You roll the dice in a losing gamble where I hold the odds. I made the rules. A game of life is mine. Any attempt now made by you to clean up your filthy mess is blessed not by me but by your masters of ignorance and greed. You cannot succeed because you expect to profit by the process of the cleansing. So I am forced to upset your ways by my law of reciprocation, and wash the face of my planet clean again. Now, we all yell about cleaning up City Hall. Do you know where the people from City Hall came from? They came from among us, and they also came from our vote. So if we will clean up our vote and our own individual lives, City Hall will be sparklingly clean in just a short while. That will go for the federal government and the whole stinking mess.
And the local government, even our supervisors. If this next Tuesday they say we're not going into the waterworks, and if you have 200 people or 300 and they put it off till the next Tuesday, you have to invest your time to get down there the next week. And then this goes in again to other places around the country that get the tapes. You know that they'll be cut off from water. If they do it here, they're going to do it there. Mm-hmm. Just like they're cutting off New York City from access, you know, to supporting themselves. That city is totally bankrupt. And heaven help those cities when the water is cut off. Can you imagine what happens to those?
I'm going to have to leave you in about 3 minutes. Okay. I have a man calling me from a station in New York at 6:10. And we're going to go on about a 2-hour talk show on the telephone.
About water all over the country.
Mm-hmm. He was alerted by either Tom Valentine of the National Exchange or Christopher Bird, who wrote The Secret Life of Plants. Christopher Bird was with us this weekend. He was out on our water survey. And I want to thank all of you for anything that you will do for us. We've been on this thing now, Pat and I, my beautiful wife, and my little 105 pounds of TNT with a short fuse. We've been on it about 2 months now, and we've put at least $2,000 of our money, and our friends over at the Color Ad Printers must undoubtedly have $4,000 to $5,000 in it. And this is total dedication. We're not spending one nickel that we get from you to develop this underground water.
Well, so, you know, it's like with my research into who killed the president or the senators or the candidates or the witnesses to these things. If the government would come out and investigate these things, I would stop lecturing or talking, and I'd go about making quilts and taking care of the house. And I have plenty of things to do, photography and a lot of things I like to do. They could put me out of business if they tell the truth who's doing the killings. You don't gain anything by saying there's water there, because if they say, okay, let's tap, you'd make a fool of yourself. So it's perfectly obvious that you don't have anything to gain by putting your energy into this any more than I have into the other. Mm-hmm. If it's not there, we'd look ridiculous and we'd be sued and they'd laugh us off the planet Earth. And the proof, I think, of that there must be water there is the equal amount of rejection you're getting on the media that I get to lot of things I'm doing.
There's one thing I'd like to do before I leave. I want to thank Mr. Paul Patchick for all he has done for me. With his skepticism and his attacks, he has lighted my afterburners. I was beginning to sag a little bit and lose,
everyone who attacks my work, I get 10 supporters.
It's beautiful. He really brought me up top. And the last article that he wrote, some of you get your last week's Outlook and look at the little article in there. I think it's on page 2 about water witches. And read what this gentleman said. So far as I'm concerned, that was a standing ovation. Because I've got somebody worried that shouldn't be worried. If I'm a phony, they don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah, well, listen, I know you have to run and get to that New York show. Thanks a million for coming on Dialogue Conspiracy.
It's been beautiful, man.
That's Wayne Cook and his wife, and he's here in Carmel Valley trying to help us here and, again, to help this country, because nothing is a local problem. What happens in our city is what's going to happen in your place. That's what happened in Germany, what happened in Munich didn't end there. It happened all over the world. It went on to Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia and Romania. And the problems of takeover of the rights of people begins to spread like wildfire. And the important thing is to stick up for your rights and fight for them at every level.
So, but we're fighting with love.
Fighting with love. Well, thanks a million for coming. I really liked it. And we'll be at the Board of Supervisors tomorrow and do what we can. Speaking of rights, I do want to say on Dialogue Conspiracy for the next 15 minutes that KLRB, you know, was sold last December, the radio station here. I've been here 5.5 years, and I think it's just about the most far-out radio station in the country. I've lectured a lot of colleges and high schools in the area, but around the country. And I've been to many radio stations. There isn't a station that I've been at that has the freedom that we've had at KLRB these 5.5 years. The station opened 6 years ago when Ed Johnson was the owner, and he sold it. And starting this Wednesday, June the 1st, the new owners take over. And, of course, we have to be alert as to our rights, as to how much we can get out in the media. I don't think there's any station in the United States that has consistently been allowed to have so much open-end conversation on all kinds of problems. The things that I've been saying are scandalous. I haven't been proven wrong. I haven't been sued on the matters. I would take any of the people on whose names I have thrown out on the air as being part of these villainous conspiracies. The new owner, I understand, is from Tucson, Arizona. I've never seen him. The manager lives up in the Bay, up in the area here, not the Bay Area, near Castroville, California. I've never met any of the people that will be moving into these offices. I come here once a week on Mondays, but outside of that, I had no occasion. They weren't here on Mondays, and they've never contacted me, and I don't know what they think about Dialogue Conspiracy or who they are. I do know what's happening around the country to the media. I know that on WBAI in New York, Dialogue Conspiracy caused such a controversy that Bob Fass eventually was fired. A station manager was brought in who had been pardoned by Gerald Ford, President Ford when he was president, and this man came in and fired seven people on WBAI. There were other newsmen on WBAI in New York that were terrified, actually hated me. I'd go see them, and they were I'd want to be on the air with them and have them apologize for some of the things they were saying about me when I'm in California. And these men were just like rocks. You couldn't reach them. And a little research found out that the Pacifica stations, the KPFK, KPFA, and WBAI, the sister stations, the one in New York was founded by Mr. Goldman, who formed the Vera Foundation. And then it turns out that Burke Marshall, former attorney from the Attorney General's office, who guards the archives, National Archives, where the evidence of the conspiracy to kill John Kennedy, lock up much of this evidence. Burke Marshall, the attorney, represents the Kennedy family and the federal government in keeping information from the American citizens. Burke Marshall's a board of directors of the Vera Foundation, and Ramsey Clark is on the Vera Foundation. He was the attorney general who came on the air the minute Martin Luther King was killed and said there was no conspiracy. It was a lone gunman, and there wasn't even an assassin or a suspect at the time. Two people directly responsible for the curtailing of the information on the murder of John Kennedy and Martin Luther King are on the board of directors of the Vera Foundation that was behind the forming of the Pacifica. So that the reasons why Dialogue Conspiracy only continued for a short time and not continuously can be found probably in the kind of people that are close to the station. I was on KGO in the Bay Area quite often with various people. Jim Eason's been down in my home, and Bob Trevor. I was with Bob Trevor and Owen Spann. And then when the attempted assassinations of Gerald Ford came down and I began to continue my talk of Squeaky Fromm working with the intelligence community, or Sarah Moore working with the FBI and the intelligence community and the federal government, there seemed to be an order, a very distinct order, no May Brussel on KGO. And that order still stands. I can call in, but the men get terrified. They can't call down here. And when listeners ask them to call, they no longer can call down to my house from KGO. And I've talked about KTBR in Modesto. Carol Benson and I did many shows, and she did promos of the shows, and we did a lot of talk shows. And then a gentleman visited the room when I was up there last fall, and within 2 months they said, no more talk shows, we're going country western. At KOME in San Jose, I did many shows with Victor Bach, Sunday morning shows, very controversial, a lot of people listening in. The boards were lit up talking about these assassinations, and Victor was fired 6 months ago from KOME. I can't find him. His home phone is cut off. They won't give a forwarding of where he was sent. I don't know if he's working in radio now. He was fired, and the beat goes on. I could go on and on about this matter. I'm watching the radio stations, the formats of some stations that have gone from talk shows to music, or as I say, country western, or the computerized music. And I only hope that KLRB stays the way it is. I hope the same people will stay on here. They're just, as I say, the most far out people in the world. I wouldn't be surprised if it changed format. I would be disappointed. If it does, I will, of course, try to get on as a new station here in Pacific Grove or KUSP up in Santa Cruz, or make tapes at home and continue to mail the tapes and the cassettes out around the nation. I have a network of tapes that are dubbed when we're through here at Dialogue Conspiracy, and they do go out around the country, and the information is very important to get out each week. So I'm not going to stop. If I'm lucky enough to go on, we'll continue here. I don't imagine there'll be a change the first week, and maybe there'll never be any change. But you have to be realistic in this world. You have to face the whole range of possibilities of what could happen. The station is sold, and there is no more Dialogue Conspiracy, or it will continue. But I must say that this is the end of an era in a way. This has been 5.5 years that I've been at KLRB, and because it changes hands Wednesday and I come in Monday with a new owner, a new set of faces, I don't know what to expect, and we hope it'll be the same. And if it's not, the tapes will go out, and you'll just have to write to me and get on a mailing list, and we'll get the shows out as regularly as I did, whether it goes over this air or another station, we'll keep it going. So in one way or another, you won't be cut off from the news, but just keep your ears going and your pens ready, write letters or call or express your feelings about the program. Several people were writing letters for a while. KLRB was asking for letters or suggestions on formats or what you think about their programming. So if you like Dialogue Conspiracy, write to KLRB and tell them what you think about it and keep listening, and we hope it'll be on. For the next few minutes, I might read you a letter I brought in. It was sent to me by Lake Heedley. He's an investigator that worked on the Wounded Knee case and the SLA case, and Lake did fantastic research into the SLA-CIA links. Lake is the gentleman I spoke about several weeks ago on Dialogue Conspiracy that has been charged with growing marijuana in Montana, the possibility of a stiff sentence, and his primary witness, and Mr. Alcock, who was to speak up for him on the fact that he was being framed by the police department, was murdered the day after he said that he had important evidence and that he would testify against his own police department. He said this on a Tuesday in order to come to the defense of Lake Heedley. He said it would probably cost him his life, and the next day the investigator from the police department, the other gentleman, was killed. And Lake is still there fighting these charges in Montana. But he sent me some information because of his long work with the SLA-CIA connections and my long work. He wrote to Freedom of Information to Washington, D.C., to see what they had about the Patty Hearst kidnapping. And they sent him a copy of an interesting letter written by Randolph Hearst, and this is what came to Lake Heedley. They went through their files, they said, on the 6 deceased members of the SLA and how this information applied to the Freedom of Information Act. And in their files, they said they found this letter on the SLA, and they sent it to him, and he in turn sent it to me with a very nice letter. Lake wrote me a letter, and this letter is from Randolph Hearst, signed Randolph Hearst. And he wrote to the director of the FBI. It said, on February the 4th, my daughter Patricia, a girl of 19, was kidnapped by a terrorist group calling themselves the Sudanese Liberation Army. They claim the right to declare without a hearing that I have committed a crime, the SLA told Randolph Hearst. I am the person they accuse of fascism. They show their courage and zeal for justice not to kill me but by kidnapping my daughter, a girl they don't have to pretend has done anything wrong to them or others. The government, whose duty it is to defend civilized people against this outrage, has not done so. It does not protect my child, and it will not avenge her. I will. A father's right to defend his family can never be destroyed. And when the protection of society fails, every citizen is entitled to protect himself or his own. I have the right, as you would have the right, to protect or rescue or avenge my child, and I will. I will reward any and every person who kills a member of the terrorist gang that calls itself the SLA. My lawyers tell me I should say I mean killing in self-defense by any justifiable means, homicide or manslaughter or accident. I will pay $20,000 to any person or group of persons who kills any member of the SLA. I will pay $100,000 to any person or group who kills one of the three who carried out the kidnapping. I will pay $200,000 to any person or group who kills the man calling himself General Field Marshal Sin Q. This was signed Randolph Hearst. That's interesting because I wrote in Realist in the summer of 1974 that the Field Marshal Sin Q was murdered by a man outside the window of the house in Los Angeles before the police firebombed, and that man shot at close range Nancy Ling Perry and Angela Atwood and Donald DeFries, and that he ran down the alley in shirt sleeves when the police were firing from the front. Later, it was Lake Hidley, this investigator who sent me this, who did the police report that Donald Gray, the nephew of Patrick Gray, acting director of the FBI at the time, shot Donald DeFries at close range, that he was the one who shot these three people at close range from the back of the building before the police fired in the front. So I wonder if the acting director of the FBI at the time, his name is Donald Gray, teaching at Quantico, Virginia, at the FBI Academy as a professor, if he was in Los Angeles, according to this research, shooting, then he probably received the $200,000 or more that was offered as a direct reward by Randolph Hearst, and that was in the CIA files. Lake wrote me a lovely letter saying, as always, we continue in the struggle to expose the intelligence community and those that control this awesome arm of the military-industrial complex. Be strong, mate, because we all find strength in you. With much love, Lake. Well, that's it on Dialogue Conspiracy. Go tomorrow morning to help fight the Board of Supervisors, and let's dig for water and control our own destinies.
The truth in store. And those who think there is no truth, that all depends on point of view. Lock us up, fire the bomb, made only for a gentleman to use. The president, just a choice, he should not incite or claim his fame. On November night, I heard the screaming horns. New America changed her name. We're not the same, you or I are not. You who called free thinkers enemies, you are clearly now the enemies. And we will do what we must do to keep it free, like I must write and she must sing and they must slay. You must have heard that we will never really rise again. The minds behind the plastic jewels gave the word. Just mow us down. Say who are the arch anemic ones. Are the free, the tender girls. Are the mountain crimson. So you and I, we disagree. The truth exists, but misery. I cry for you, I cry for us. And I prepare to leave the bus. Oh, my. There is a